coming up on TMS. You learn things in VR.
3D Brian.
Oh, can't wait to talk about that. Marijuana use is up in Colorado, it turns out.
Street magic is pervy.
Dead cat was not real.
Have you seen my snake?
Twice. Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Among wine stewards, the men who are responsible for the wine selections in the cellars of famous hotels and restaurants, the choice is C-R-E-S-T-A, B-L-A-N-C-A, Cresta Blanca, Cresta Blanca.
All right, well, bye.
The Morning Stream. They mostly come in the morning. Mostly.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Thursday, the 30th of June. Oh my gosh. Think of it this way, Brian. If this was like 2013 or 2014, we'd have Nerdtacular this weekend.
Oh my God, right, yeah.
Weird!
Or 2015. Well, no, I guess 2015 we did it
we did late.
Different time of July.
Yeah, late July that time.
July, early August, yeah.
But then even if that was true, we'd be like 3 weeks away. This would be
a stress scramble time.
No, yeah. My gosh, I don't want to think about it. It's, you know, I need to enjoy the fact that there's a little bit of a respite this year so I can gear up for that big 10-year thing.
Yep.
Next year is going to be banana time. Give us all a little bit of a break. Brian's not scrambling, trying to figure out how to make people screw up on questions on a game. And
how to make Veronica pissed off.
Yeah, how to make her mad. How to make Jury and Schwood think they were shafted. All that stuff. It's a break from all of that, man.
Right. I'm going to do a special category in whatever game you're in about webcomics, and I want to make sure that Jury and Schwood are on a team against you.
Perfect. Make that happen. Let's make that happen. Hi, chat room. Hi, everybody. Hello, everyone at home, and welcome back to the show. This is TMS proper. It means Therapy Thursday today. It's our final broadcast day for the week. A reminder, there will be a show on July 4th for all you Americans who may be celebrating early or whatever.
Right.
The Independence Day that is July the 4th. We will be doing that that day.
We'll be there for you, just
yeah.
Like the Rembrandt saying.
Exactly. And I don't know about Hotline Monday and stuff, though. That's probably not going to happen because there's barbecues and things to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Monday afternoon. I mean, once we get the show out of the way, then the day is ours,
right?
I mean, it belongs to us and the USA.
Yeah, that's right. Screw you, world. We're taking it back. So, hey, I learned something last night again. So the VR thing around the house, since we've got it working the way it needs to, has been quite the big hit here. And here's how we did it. I'm going to do a video about this later, but I owe all credit to my 16-year-old son, Nicholas, who brilliantly came up with a way to solve a problem we were having. And this problem that we were having was the sensors are at the proper height, and they're at the proper angle, and they have the proper distance. There's two of these, they call them lighthouses, two of these sensors that are across from each other that let you create the space in which you do your VR business, right?
Sure, sure.
They call it room scale, and it's great. It's awesome if you have the space for it. And
I had to take a guy out in Westeros because he had room scale.
Well, there's no cure that we know of. So
no cure for room scale.
No. Yeah. By the way, we didn't. He was not. Oh, never mind. I'll say something.
Yeah.
Someone will construe it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I won't say a word. Anyway. So. Yeah. They weren't working well. They were causing all kinds of weird shiftiness, and controllers would suddenly zoom out of view, or you'd turn left and the whole screen would like shift and kind of drift somewhere. And we couldn't figure out why, because we've done everything to the letter. And I may have mentioned this before, but it turned out it's the ceiling in here, because it's made out of that corrugated like tin or whatever it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the reflective...
Yes, it's reflective. And it's not only just reflective, it's like 1,000 times reflective. And because this thing is doing a spread of lasers in the room, it's just constantly bouncing off everything, and it usually gets worse as time goes on, which kind of makes sense, right? So, what did Nick's brilliant mind, little mind do? Oh, we thought about, okay, well, should we put a blanket up there? At one point, somebody said, well, we could just retile the ceiling. I'm like, no, we're not freaking doing that. That's a huge pain and costs a bunch of money.
Right.
Nick goes, what if we put hats on the things? I said, what do you mean? He goes, like a little brim, like shaders, like like a little shelf thing on top of the sensor that block it from being able to see the ceiling, but everything else is not blocked. So basically like a little flap on top. Imagine like a hat for you, like a brim on your hat.
Sure, sure.
To keep you from seeing peripherally into the sky, right?
And that's not going to have a negative effect on stuff?
Like zero.
It won't,
totally
won't reduce the ceiling of the game?
Nope, worked perfectly. Zero issues. Absolutely nailed
well done.
It. Freaking brilliant kid. All it is cardboard from a box. Here, in fact, I can't show you this, but...
David C. gets points for that. He said, just hatted the system.
I hatted the system, exactly. Well, that brings back memories of a few days ago.
A week ago, yeah.
So here is in my hand is the Robot Devil from the Futurama Pop Toy series thing, Funko Top Pop Toy. And it's his box that we used to make these flaps.
Nice.
So it's like we Mad Maxed this thing and it
repurposed,
worked great.
Yeah, you MacGyvered it.
Yep. Yeah. Now here's what we learned, and this is why I bring all this up. Last night we had Taylor and Dylan over for dinner. We always do on Wednesdays, and they brought their friends, Max and Jasmine. Jasmine's a she was a kid Taylor grew up with, and we loved her. She was almost like our adopted extra daughter. She was so awesome, sweetest kid ever. And we really like Max. He's a big time gamer. Apparently listens to this show. So Max, if you're listening, hey dude. It was nice to see you last night. He was a listener long before he met her. It's a long story. Anyway, so they're over here hanging out. They're in their early 20s, right? 20, 21, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I learned something that was... I learned something about people when they experience VR for the very first time. It is such a shock to some people's systems if they've never seen anything quite like it that their bodies do things they don't expect.
Really?
And okay. I don't mean no one took a dump or peed all over the place or anything like that. But like when Jasmine, or as I used to call her when she was 15, Jazzman. When Jazzman put the headset on and she sees this world start to unfold, and it was a static thing, like the very beginning of this game called Job Simulator, where you're just standing outside of like a console with some little cartridges you put in there to do a job. I mean, it's really nothing. It's just a room. She sees it and bursts into tears and laughs at the same time. And it was the strangest thing I've ever beheld anybody
really?
Do. Yeah, all she right. just started bawling but laughing. And it was spontaneous, like not like a slow enter into, you know, a frenetic crying laughing state. It was like a toggle went burp to the on switch and she just started like bawling and laughing. And she kept saying,
like
I just need a minute.
Not like a laughing so hard you're crying kind of thing, but like, oh my God, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, like that. Like that. Like a happy, like you just saw the I don't know what you just saw. You just saw that it was made of stars or whatever. Like you
right.
just, she just suddenly just started like shaking and started crying and laughing. And then I said, are you okay? Do we need to take it off? She goes, no, I just need a minute. I just need a minute. I need to take it in. Like it was the most revelatory thing to watch somebody experience that and feel that change of location and presence in such a profound way that their whole physicality changed. It was really cool. Anyway, that happened a lot last night.
Business just got super crusty.
Oh, business crusty. I enjoy that feature of Skype. Is it real
you
bad?
You were gone for the entire time that I said stuff was crusty. Like for...
How about now?
Totally fine now. Totally normal now.
I don't know what that was.
I don't either.
Well done, Skype. I'm using a version higher than yours, so it's possible we've got a little...
Oh, I might need to upgrade. Okay, well...
Version parity problem. Who knows? But right. We won't mess with it today. We're going to hope for the best.
Yes.
All right. Forget about all that. Everyone had some fun experiences. We played this zombie horde game called Horde Z, and everyone freaked out and thought they were going to die, and that was great. What else? We did a bunch of other stuff, and we sat here. They sat here for hours and hours and played that thing. So, huge
That's
hit.
Cool.
People should get VR. It's fun. Brian, let's talk about 3D Brian, because you made my day yesterday with 3D Brian.
So a couple of weeks ago at Denver Comic Con, there was a booth set up for a company called Werks 3D, WERKS 3D. And what they've got, and I talked about this on the show, they've got a little booth. You step in, you're on a little rotating platform, and then they've got what looks like a modified Kinect camera, a modified Xbox Kinect camera that slowly rises up as you turn around on this platform. And the dude's in control of it. So like you're rotating at a regular rate of speed, but the guy is looking at the 3D model as it's being generated on screen, and I need to, you know, make the camera go back down and get that area better, or go up, or whatever. And the deal was that, you know, he'd get me an STL file, and then I could do whatever I want for it, or whatever I want with it. Typically, you know, people go up to the booth, they do their scan, and then mailed to them a month later is a little plastic toy that is either a little 3D model, a single color 3D model, or a little resin statue, ceramic resin statue that's actually full color.
Right.
But I said, well, I just want the STL file. I don't want a little printout. I'm going to do my own. I want to do some stuff to it. And so they came up with a price that was fair, and I'm probably not the first person to do that. So waited. You know, he had to do some cleanup on it. I had to do cleanup on all the ones that they scanned over there at the Comic-Con.
Sure.
And finally, yesterday, it arrives. And I open up the file, and I'm looking at it on screen, and it is something that I notice.
Hold on. Is it the same thing I noticed?
It's the same thing you noticed. Okay. It's the same thing that anyone would notice.
Okay.
And
by the way, I need to at least say to people, I had the most epic, incredible text exchange yesterday that I've ever had with Brian Ibbett. We went back and forth after he started sending me pictures of this scan, and really ended up being my favorite conversation we may have ever had.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, it's not like spinning around on that platform was arousing. I was not excited at the time. However, the scanner picked up on, I think the kind of the zipper fly on my jeans kind of being out. Maybe there was a wrinkle. Maybe it was like puffed out. Maybe it was just an artifact in the scanning business, or who knows what. But basically, I've got this protrusion in that area.
Yeah, very anatomical protrusion, I would say.
And I'm trying to decide, oh my God, all right, so I'm going to 3D print this thing. And that was the first thing I did, is just kind of 3D print a little small version of the model. And I've got it right here. Dang, this, the zip is back, the tase.
Yeah.
So I print out a little, the smaller version. It's like, yeah, pretty prevalent on that one too. And so I'm like, do I email the guy at Works3D back and say, hey, any chance, while you've got that mesh file open that you've been doing cleanup on,
yeah,
any chance you can do a little more touch-ups? And then I sent it to Scott.
Any theory that he did it on his own? Like maybe he added a little bit of,
I don't think so. So, but before I even do that, I first send kind of a top half picture to Scott. And it was just like, you know, from my chest up. Because they've got this, basically, as you can see in the photos on Twitter, It's my photobomb face that I'm doing.
Right.
And Scott says, wow, that is epic. And then I send the full length shot, the full size shot. And he's like, dude, you noodle.
I think my actual thing was literally, yeah, here it is. Your doodle with 4 exclamation points.
Yes, exactly.
It was so hard to avoid. You can't avoid it.
Which basically put my mind to rest as, well, would anybody really notice? Am I being too hypercritical of this thing? Is it just too obvious to me because I'm looking at it? No, apparently it is the first thing. And granted, I mean, it's Scott, you know, who
I immediately go to these things. Right.
As we notice with this season of Game of Thrones. But so I'm like, crap. All right. So I take the printout and I use an X-Acto knife. I use a little sander and I kind of take you down. I was like, well, all right, it's totally fixed, but I'm not going to want to do this on every single one of these I print out, right?
Right.
So I finally decide, all right, I'm going to email the guy. And I should pull up the email, actually, because the way I had to phrase it.
Because the file you get is not a malleable file, right? Like, that isn't a thing you can mess with. It is just strictly the mesh and you're done. You can't really do anything else.
It is a mesh, but you have to have a specific tool to open the mesh and work with it. And Boy, I mean, when you open it up, the number of points involved, I mean, it's like an Adobe Illustrator file where, have you ever done that where you do a trace, whatever they call those things,
like
an auto trace?
Yeah, auto trace, yeah.
And the thing is so full of points that if you do a select all, you can't even see the actual image because it's the dots overwhelm it.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what this one.
That thing's really good at line art and a few other things, but you start getting crazy with too complicated of a photo or a picture and you're screwed. Yeah.
So I emailed the guy back and I said, looks awesome. One thing, and this is me verbatim, would there be any way I could get you to smooth out the mesh in the crotch? I know it's just the button fly on my jeans, but the way it sticks out, I'd be taking an X-Acto knife to any of these that I print out just to keep it PG rated.
So what did he say?
He replied back and says, haha, scanning shows everything, smiley face. I can do that, but I'll do one better and show you how to do it easily with some free software. Teach a man to fish, .. Download Mesh Mixer, Mesh Lab, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he basically gave me, descriptions of two programs to use that I can open the mesh with and edit it. And I actually had Blender on my computer, so I was like, I'll try that one first because I downloaded that.
Yeah. You know what's funny about all this, by the way, is he says he wants to teach a man to fish. He is either saying that because he means it, like he wants to show you a thing. He's like, well, I could do it, but hey, how about I teach you a thing or two? Or this is a guy that doesn't want to fiddle with your junk in a virtual way.
It could be that. My guess is, and you and I both dealt with clients in a graphic design capacity.
Sure.
And quite often they'll say, I just have one little change. Could you make this one little change? And we go back and we open the file. We make that one little change, send it back. Well, actually, now that I'm looking at this, could you change this and this? So he's probably trying to say, here. Here's what you do.
No,
download this.
It's like when my wife has us move furniture around or she can't figure out how high she wants the painting to be. It's the same idea. It's like it's never just one off. You're going to keep coming back and back and back.
Right. So I download the application. I open it up. We're watching House of Cards and I'm trimming my doodle and I decide, let's have a little fun. And so instead of the subtractive smooth tool, I use the additive tool.
Oh, yeah.
And I go nuts, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you did.
And I take a picture of it with my phone. I send it to Scott and say, there we go. Fixed.
Fixed. Or actually, you know what you said? Hold on. You said even better. You said... Oh, yeah. That is what you said. You said, there we go, fixed. And it is glorious. Now, chat room, I'm not going to show you this one. Well, maybe I could. But I have this great screenshot in Blender that is forever going to be in my phone. I'm never getting rid of this. And you'll just have to wonder what it looks like because now we have our little secret, Brian. We got a little secret going on.
Maybe someday we'll release it. So here was the original one I printed. Printed that last night, two hours. Yeah. This is the one I printed overnight with the new fixed mesh, and it's the one I posted on Twitter. This is basically, it's Walter White size. So
I was going to ask you how. Okay, cool.
So the newer kind of deluxe sort of action figures. They're kind of action figures, even though you can't. Their arms don't move or anything like that. But I can actually take Walter White's hat. Yeah. And put it on me.
Oh, totally.
And I can wear Walter White's hat.
That's amazing. You are the one that knocks with your incredible, huge, protruding junk. That's fantastic.
So next step on this guy is to do a little sanding just to make it receptible, make it work with the primer stuff that I want to spray on it.
Right, so you can take paint and stuff. Are you going to paint, paint it? Like,
yeah, I'm going to paint it. Oh, hell yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm going, I don't know which t-shirt I need to be wearing, though, for this. I mean, I feel like it should be a Coverville t-shirt, but I don't know if it's necessarily,
That seems cool.
Given.
Like a little red Coverville shirt or something.
Right. Well, yeah, right. But if I F it up, great news is I can print out as many of these damn things as I want.
That's true. That's true. So. Well, I'm excited for you. You've got your own little mini me to work on. That's awesome. All right. 3D Brian notwithstanding.
3D Brian. And the response on Twitter to this thing has been fantastic. People like describing it as the scariest damn thing they've ever seen.
It's pretty frightening. I'm not
Alan
lie.
Storm, I think, compared it to the little kid in The Grudge.
Oh, yeah, that was them that posted that picture.
That was them.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome. And anybody who's familiar with your, photobomb face already wants one of these. So
yes, exactly. That's the thing, is that a lot of the people who are like, oh, my God, what the heck is this, probably don't realize that, that is the photobomb face that I make. And holding that face for the entire time I'm spinning around on this little turntable in this booth, it was... Hey, I deserve a big unit for that.
I'm here. I'm hearing a lot of calls for Patreon level action figure.
We should talk about that. That's not a bad idea.
It's possible. Maybe it's a random loot for somebody or something.
There we go. Yeah, exactly.
We'll figure it out. All right. Well, let's dive in.
I think you and I ought to have, and maybe not realistic style, but you and I should do like a little.
I know what you mean. Like little weeble looking dudes.
Right. Exactly. Like not accurate, as close to realism as possible, but like a little. You know, a little fake Scott and Brian that people can have on their desks.
I would freaking love that, actually. That would be really cool. All right, I have a call coming in that, again, Skype, for some reason, Skype quit giving me the option to add people to this. They just took it away. Now I only have answer or hang up on the people to call in, and it puts you on hold, which is super annoying. This, like, screws me up big time for other shows that I do. Like, Hotline Mondays, screwed.
Well, that stinks.
I know. I got to figure that out. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to answer this call. It's going to put you on hold. I'll add you back in. Like yesterday.
Perfect.
We'll figure
That's
it
fine.
Out. All right, so here we go. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
No way. This is Max.
Hey, Max. Oh, what? Max? Is this the Max who was here last night?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That's crazy. All right, I have to add Brian back to this, so hold on. Skype's a piece of garbage. Hold on. Okay. A bit. Okay, yeah, you got really lucky today, dude.
I know, I was lucky.
All right, here it comes. I'm going to hang up on this one. Add him to this one. Brian, you there?
Okay, I am here.
Well, you'll never guess who's on the phone.
Who's on the phone?
It's Max, who was here last night playing on the VR. The Max I told you about.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. So,
welcome, Max. We don't need to ask you where you're from, I guess, do we?
No, we don't.
Right down the street.
Yeah, it turns out he lives right here. That was really fun, by the way. And you need to tell me your impressions of that zombie horde game. Like that, you seemed like you were pretty freaked out, and you were the first one to play it.
Yeah, super scary. I really wanted Jasmine to try it, though, because she probably would have cried her eyes out.
Yeah, she would have lost her mind. But her whole thing with her crying and laughing and needing a minute to get kind of her bearings was one of the funniest freaking things I've ever seen.
Her and Taylor both. It was so funny.
Taylor, too. She totally lost her mind. And now they're all telling me, Dad, can I just come use this all the time? Because I just want to come over and play with this thing all the time. I'd never leave this thing. And I'm like, all right, this is it. The beginning of the end of the world, man. That's what this, how this starts. all right. Well, Max is here to play a little game with us called Stump Daryl. We're going to call Daryl in a second. Before that, though, Brian will read the rules and give you your topic.
That is correct. So, Max, welcome to the game. In a minute or two, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question. And what we're going to be asking you to do beforehand is to predict whether or not Daryl gets that question right or wrong. If you're correct, you can win a copy today of a game on Steam that is amazing. It's set in an alternate version of Earth in which sapient anthropomorphic birds have seemingly taken the place of humans in society for reasons that are hinted at but not fully explained, and a dating simulation. It has to have come from Japan. It's called Hatoful Boyfriend. Yes, Hatoful Boyfriend.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
playable on Steam. So you're going to be a pigeon that mates with other pigeons, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, great.
You're a huge winner today regardless, because this is your game. You may win. This is insane.
I love it. But you only win it. You only get the opportunity to play this game if you're correct. And we're going to give you the category, though, to kind of help you out in your prediction. The category today is Futurama.
Yes.
Futurama.
Okay.
All right. Big fan over here. Don't know about Max and Jasmine. If you're not watching it, you should be. This is something my daughter's husband, Dylan, does not watch, and he is a bum for it. Mm-hmm. So we need to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Daryl's going to get it right or wrong?
I feel like Daryl is the kind of guy who watches Futurama, and I watch Futurama a ton as a kid, so I can maybe help him.
All right.
So I think you'll get it right.
A little bit of a hand?
Yeah, sure. As a kid. Oh, you guys are so young. all right. Well, let's do that. Let's see if that's the case by adding him to the call and going for it. Here we go. Daryl's his name. Skills is his last name. I've added it. Here's his little theme thing.
Yeehaw! I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
That sultry game sound, but game show sound is all because Daryl's here now. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
It's Stump You time. Stump Daryl time. Brought to you by
FilmSack.com, where we sacked E.T., the extraterrestrial. Finally, get it all at FilmSack.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. And if you always wanted to hear somebody else take a bunch of heat on a Spielberg movie that isn't Scott, now's your chance.
Right.
Whew. All right. Yeah, man, people really been interesting this week. Yeah. So let's dive right in. Daryl, it's you. You're here. You're Daryl Skills, and you're in Seattle. And with us from Salt Lake City is Max, who is going to help or hinder you in your question answering today. Say hi to Max, Daryl.
Hello, Max.
Hello, Daryl.
He said it like he's a robot. Hello, Max.
Hello.
I am not programmed to love. All right, so we're going to play a game. Daryl, you know the rules. You know what's up. It's actually in an area, as it turns out, a little bit of your expertise. It is Futurama. You liked Futurama. You're a fan.
Yes, I'm even making a 2-foot-tall Bender statue.
Whoa.
Oh, nice.
No way, dude. For real?
Yeah, I've been seeing this. He's been tweeting out photos of it or putting on Facebook. It's really cool.
Oh, now it makes sense. I was wondering, what is he saying here? It was like, here's Bender's finger. It didn't occur to me what you were talking about. Now I know. I get it now. So this is going to be 2 feet. That's big.
Yeah, I only planned for it to be 1 foot tall, but his head is so big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, he's got a big head. Plus, they got the. Is his antenna thing going to be retractable?
No.
Oh.
But he'll be posable, so you can put him in whatever position you want.
That's pretty awesome. Will he have beer in his chest? Maybe not.
If you can find one small enough.
All right. Let's find a little.
The door will open and everything.
You just need like a little 2-inch beer, I think, would do it. All right. Well, let's get to your question. Here it is. Prepared as you are or not are. Here is the question regardless. Helmut Spargel was a legendary chef on Futurama. He had his own cooking show until his student Elzar replaced him. Helmut gives Bender a special ingredient to use in a cooking challenge. What was actually in the special ingredient? Okay, here are your four options. I remember this, so I would get this right. Is it A, PCP? Is it B, heroin? Is it C, marijuana? Or D, LSD? He would.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, I have a weirdly clear memory of it. I don't know why. I've probably seen this one a few times, I think.
I know all about Elzar and the Spice Weasel.
Yeah. And that was, so this would have been a little earlier seasons, I'm thinking, because Elzar was like 4 and on or maybe. And he's the one that was like, he was like Emeril Lagasse. He was the one that would always go bam or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah. And he had the multiple arms and all that. And my favorite part about that restaurant, it's where, Fry took that old lady to dinner. And she had to hurry up and leave because she was going to miss the train to Nutley.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I always remember that. Just sticks. That lady sticks out for me. She's like this just washed up, over makeuped, you know, 50-something bar fly. Just an awesome character. Anyway, so that's your question. You want to tap Max for any help?
I'll take whatever I can get.
All right. You know... Honestly, when I was watching Futurama, I was too young to even know what any of those things were, so I probably didn't even catch on to it at the time.
It wasn't until...
Well, that's good. That's a very wholesome approach. Yeah. We like that. Yeah,
it wasn't until recently he discovered the highs and lows of marijuana and PCP use. All right, well, he doesn't know. So, I mean, if you had to guess, though, like, what do you think would be, like, the funny Futurama... thing to say.
What were the options again?
PCP, heroin, marijuana, and LSD.
I would say PCP or LSD.
Yeah, he likes the acronyms.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking PCP or heroin.
Oh, okay.
Because marijuana, I mean, that's legal in 2 states.
Well, it is now. It wouldn't have been when Futurama was still running 4x3 video.
Yeah, right.
4x3 standard def. That's how you can mark time, by the way, when things quit being... Oh, you know what's cool, though, by the way? I've noticed this. I can't think. My brain's not working. The X-Files. Mm-hmm. When it was in its original airing, it aired mostly, maybe entirely, 4:3. It was never widescreen. But right. The Netflix transfer from the originals, I guess, are all widescreen from episode 1 forward. It's awesome. So if you were worried that if you went and watched X-Files, you were going to be presented with some old standard def ugly-looking 480x640.
Right, black bars on the side business. And
yeah, none of that. It's like beautiful widescreen, awesome. So there you go.
Did they just zoom in on the original?
No, it's not. That's the best thing about it. It's they filmed it, I guess.
Oh, yeah, 35mm. That's why.
Yeah, they filmed it in 35mm and then cropped it for TV.
Okay.
So they have the masters. It's kind of like what I wish would have happened with Next Generation's transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, that was like 8 sneezes.
That's 3. Oh, come on.
All right.
It's just cavernous and echoes in here.
It's a little it was a little hyperbole on my part. All right.
If my kids do that 3 in a row, they get a prize.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Do they ever cheat? Do they cheat and go? No,
well, they try to, but I can tell what's fake and what's real.
Yeah, you know the difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Awesome, actually. All right. Anyway, so you think PCP or heroin? Narrow it down in only the way you know how.
Let's see. What's C again? Oh no, I already know what that is. Okay, I'm gonna guess PCP. Well, I think marijuana is too normal.
Too normal.
Yeah.
LSD is too.
That's what they would say in Washington now, right?
Yeah, they sure would.
marijuana, it's too normal. I need something else.
It's so normal now.
Smoke weed every day.
That's right.
Right. Oh boy. Oh shoot. Oh, but did he guess that I was right? Will be right or wrong?
I don't know.
I don't. Yeah. I don't.
You can't. Yeah.
You can't say. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't say.
Well, you can
that's
also.
All I have.
You can't.
Well, I don't have that actually.
Yeah, you don't have anything. You have literally four random things to choose
from. You have nothing.
Yeah.
Do I want to try to be right or take a random guess?
You should always try to be right.
Yes, your attempt. See, that's your role is to always try to be right.
Right, yes, regardless.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, if I was going to really try to be right and there were big stakes involved, I would pick PCP.
Uh-huh.
But since this is just low stakes prizes I'm and cheap stuff, I'm going to pick heroin.
All right, you're going to pick heroin. Let's find out if it's heroin. It may well be. I don't know. Judges will tell us. Is it heroin? It is not heroin at all.
Oh, no.
And not only that.
So you get nothing. You lose.
Oh.
That weird Japanese game is not yours, Max. See you later. Really... Oh, cut him off. It's all right. He lives near here. It's fine. He and I will talk later. he's super cool. He's a great kid. I hate referring to people in their 20s as great kids. I'm an old man.
Good kid. That ain't good kid.
Yeah, he's a good kid. Daryl, the answer was LSD. It turns out the secret ingredient is water laced with LSD. Here's a clip of that.
Good Lord. According to the spectralizer, Spargle's magic ingredient was water. Ordinary water.
No.
Ah, so the real gift Spargle gave you was confidence. The confidence to be your best.
Yes, ordinary water, laced with nothing more than a few spoonfuls of LSD.
There you go. I love that show so much.
Good news, everyone.
Good news, bad news. Daryl, congrats on that. You completely screwed that up. Hey, we've got...
Failed in every way possible.
That's all fine. Here's this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Lots of foodie.
We have one remaining Scottish delight. It is called the Highland Toffee. They will never take our freedom.
It's softer eating, Highland Toffee. This will not. This won't break your teeth, but it will pull out your fillings.
Great, great. It does look like filling pulley outy stuff.
Kind of does,
it
right?
Sure does.
It is soft though. It's very pliable, malleable.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Sort of move it around. Look at me with all the words today.
That's something you expect with toffee, right?
No, I would agree. So let's try this. It looks
smells
like
slightly good.
Smells like a.
Isn't toffee just butter and sugar caramelized?
Kind of. Man, this Scottish, are you all just giant, huge, obese people? Like, what are you doing over
Like Scotty.
Yeah, like Scotty, like James Doohan. stuck in a wheelchair for half your life? Like, what's going on over there? Everything's so sugary. All right, let's try it out. Let's see what we like. Oh.
Sweet.
That's some gooey business right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's excellent.
I have to be careful with this. I don't want to pull that fresh crown out. Yeah, it's fine. It's like a, you know what it's like? It's like a semi-melted, what's over here that we have called, Sugar Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
They're like that.
Right, I mean, it's basically a caramel.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it a caramel or a caramel?
I'd call this caramel.
And Brian would call it caramel.
I say caramel, yeah.
I would call it potato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, that was fine. We were done with the Scottish Highland food. That was amazing. Thank you, dude in Scotland, or lady. Who was it? And now I don't remember who sent it.
It is Craig.
Craig, okay.
But it might be pronounced Craig. I don't know, because it's got a J.
Oh, that's right.
I think during raid tonight, I might enjoy my 12-year-old Highland Park scotch.
I think you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that gets you through raid is good. Right. Whatever it takes.
We're doing Hellfire Citadel again? Okay, hold on. Let me get a glass.
Yeah. You guys really doing Hellfire?
I don't know what we're doing.
No.
And actually, I might be doing trivia tonight, so I don't know if I'm even going to be there, but hopefully I am.
Mm. All right. Well, Daryl's a Trek nerd on Twitter. You can find him there. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. A fine podcast all about Star Trek and the Grumpy Cast. Well, sorry, this thing's still in my mouth. Daryl. By the way, there's a video circling around reminding me of this. A video of a girl who puts a blue Post-it note on her lips and then sucks it in real hard. And it goes down her freaking throat and she gags.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's rough. It's,
yeah.
It's floating all over the place and I can't seem to avoid it.
And she chokes on it?
Yeah, it comes out, but she chokes on it. Yeah.
Does it sound like this?
Yeah, like that, kind of like
just
that.
Just like that.
Jeez, oh, Louise. Jeannie, that was for you, Jeannie. How do you like that? All right, let's move on to your version of this stuff called...
I know, I Googled it.
It's called Google-ocalypse. No, Google... Hold on. Google... Google... What is it?
Googleus Maximus.
Googleus Maximus. Shite, I had it down. People at home are like, you idiot.
We just should write it down in here.
I'm going to make a Post-it note, put it right there here, and suck it, and then... Choke. All right, Daryl.
What animal is Tony the Tiger?
Oh, yes. He's a cheetah. Right? Did you see somebody sent that, a bag of Cheetos with the Tony the Tiger logo on it?
I love that. Yeah.
You guys, you chuckleheads. All right, Daryl, give us give us your Google there today.
I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into Google. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right.
Why does my dog blank?
Why does my dog... spin around 3 times before going to sleep.
That's not bad. Mine does that. Why does my dog... why does my dog pee nervously? I'm doing an actual request here, I guess. An actual Google request. Now,
I want to know the answer to both of those.
Yeah. Oh, you do? What's the answer to the second one? Because I've been told it's her breed.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah. She's got a breed that's... Well, and it's usually... She's real good about it 99% of the time. It's only when another dog is introduced or someone she's excited to see she hasn't seen in a long time. So, like, my daughter will show up and she'll just lose her mind and pee. But otherwise she's fine. She never pees in the house. It's always outside or something. It's like not a big deal, but she just, I don't know. I just wish she didn't have that. She is in every other possible way, the greatest dog I've ever had in my life. And I had some cool dogs growing up.
Uh-huh.
Easily Rainer, Jim Rainer, the female dog, is the best dog I've ever
owned. How sweet.
She is so awesome in every way, except for that little pee part. The little pee part is the problem. Anyway. So she has a 5-pointed star on her chest, by the way. I got to show you guys sometime. We just noticed.
Ooh, really?
It. Yeah, it's like a white patch of fur.
Satan dog.
It's in a way. I'm going to take a picture of her and then put some, like this to it.
Hello there.
No, not that. That's what I meant.
There we go.
Yeah, not hello there.
You got a new Illuminati symbol.
What are those types of dogs that have Jesus on their butt?
Oh, those are pugs have that. Jesus pugs.
Okay.
Yeah. You do a Google search for Jesus butt, and you'll find all sorts of sightings.
Very true.
Jesus and the dog butt. All right. Anyway, so how do we do? Who got it right?
Okay.
Nobody is my guess.
The real one is, why does my dog... No, it's not have Jesus on its butt. It's, why does my dog eat grass?
Oh, eat grass.
Eat grass.
Eats grass.
Eats the grass in the fields. So he got eats grass, lick me, keep throwing up, shake, or lick me so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
So not even not any of the ones that we thought.
Yeah.
Like even in any of the results.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, here's an answer.
He lives among the beasts and eats grass.
There you go. I feel like you may have found that one just to get us to play that clip. Is that true?
Dogs eat grass because they have stomach problems and they want to throw up. And that's like their Ipecac, basically.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I had never heard of that.
Yeah,
I thought it was just because they're idiots and they just were like out in the yard.
They need their vegetables.
Yeah, they need their fiber. All right. Well, Rainer has a... I know how Rainer can barf. She just... If she eats her food real fast. Because she still once in a while reverts back to that before she was rescued. She's in a kennel full of very angry, very, you know, alpha dogs who would all eat, you know, bust in and eat the food first. And if you didn't hurry, you weren't going to get any kind of life. And she still once in a while reverts to that, and she'll eat so quick that I'll then about 5 minutes later hear her go, brah! And I'll check in the kitchen, and she's already horked up her undigested food. And I'm like, come on, dog. Slow down. Don't eat so fast.
Oh, you know what? And I could be wrong. I'm going to save the all caps tweets. Less than 25% of dogs that eat grass vomit regularly after grazing. Other suggested reasons include digestion, treating intestinal worms, or fulfilling some unmet nutritional need.
Oh,
So
we were all right in a way.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was 100%, exactly 100% wrong, Scott.
Wow. Look at him taking it for the team so he doesn't get any tweets. This is amazing. Daryl, fair day to you.
Ga, ga, ga.
Ga, ga, ga. All right.
Ga, ga, ga.
Ga, ga, ga. That's a song, isn't it?
It is, by Trio.
Yeah.
Well, da, da, da is, yeah.
Oh, they should change it. All right.
Okay.
Here's the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brung to you by...
Is there a book, movie, or TV show you keep recommending but your friends just won't listen? Mark is a podcaster looking for your suggestions. Each week, he'll try out a new piece of pop media and give his honest review. If you have something to recommend, go to bit.ly/marktrial and tune into Alpha Geek Radio from Friday the 1st of July at 9 a.m. Mountain Time for Mark Stedman's 7-day trial.
That sounds all right to me.
Hey, Mark, go watch. I hear good things about Human Centipede. Go watch that. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, third one's out, you know. I never saw it.
Never saw any of them.
I saw the first one, and it's pretty weird to the... I mean, it's creepy in a kind of... You're like, oh, okay, I can see why this is a thing, and that it's not just, you know, stupid, but it's kind of scary, right? Second one... Dumbest thing I ever saw.
Really?
Dumbest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
I basically just thought, we've pretty much figured out the formula to this.
Yeah.
And
it's just bad. And three, I have no desire. So there you go.
All right.
I had to know what I'm talking about, people. I had to take one. I had to take a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some news for you today. Okay, we have an update on the marijuana situation in Colorado.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about that a couple days ago, that it wasn't up for teens.
It wasn't up for teens. Well, Brian, it turns out it's not up for white teens.
Oh, really?
Marijuana-related arrests, anyway, or at least arrests. Now, this doesn't mean usage necessarily, but it does mean arrests in marijuana-related cases in Colorado are way up for black and Latino minors. So kids are getting arrested at a much higher rate that aren't white. Now, I don't know if that means that white kids just aren't getting arrested or if that means there's more pot use by minors in the other two categories. I don't know. It doesn't really say. But a new report released in March by the Colorado Department of Public Safety says that black and Latino teens are being arrested for marijuana disproportionately higher rates than their white counterparts. I want to know who I am a white counterpart to.
You are JJ's white counterpart.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, does that mean there's always like a...
There's always a Padawan and a...
And a master.
And a master.
There's a white guy for every black guy. I love that.
I think percentages might be off a little bit on that one.
Maybe. You think? Yeah. The report found a huge gap in numbers in relation to how adolescents ages 10 through 17 were being arrested, which apparently was contingent upon their race. While there was an 8% decrease in arrests for white kids for marijuana from 2012 to 2014... Black juvenile arrests shot up by 58%.
Wow.
Latino arrests followed that increase by 29%. So in 2012, Colorado's constituents passed this initiative. That was when this happened. Okay. As you know, Brian, as you know. And
oh, believe me.
Hell yeah.
That's when the windows shut in our house.
Yeah. That's when things got
green cloud started hovering over Denver.
Things got real weird. Anyway, so that's when the study started because they wanted to be able to track this, right? So in total, between 2012 and 2014, Colorado elementary and high schools had a 34% increase in arrests. Again, most of these arrests were possession of the substance by people under the age of 21, done by school resource officers. The repercussions for these arrests do not include jail time, but minors are made to pay a fine to get the charge removed from their records. Plus, they have to pay for a drug education class. That's probably bad that only, I'm guessing plenty of white kids are smoking the weed.
They're just, you know, better at hiding it. I don't know. What does this say?
I don't know if it's so much they're better at hiding it. Like, I don't want to jump to conclusions because who knows? This is data without too much context, but it's possible that school authorities who do these arrests are consciously or unconsciously targeting minorities. Maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a black kid with a doobie. Is that what they call them now?
Yeah, call them doobies, yes.
Doobies still. You pass the duchy on the left-hand side. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's...
I never hear anybody call it grass anymore, though. You know? It's always weed.
Yeah, right. It's always weed or pot. Grass seemed to kind of disappear with Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, went away. It's too bad. Dave's not here, man.
Dave's not here.
A street magician. Here's Brian Brushwood in the news, everybody. Brian Brushwood. Perfect. Street magician tried to make woman's bikini disappear, according to police. What a perv.
Florida magician.
That's right. And he is in Florida. Street magician in Clearwater, Florida is facing felony battery charges. Battery charges. Get it?
Yeah.
After police said he tried to pull off a woman's bathing suit during a performance, Richard Cook, age 51, aren't they always, was performing Sunday evening when he asked for a volunteer for a trick where he would make a scarf disappear, according to WFLA-TV. A woman in a bikini came forward and Cook asked her to keep her hands out in front of her. Police said, I'm getting real into this here.
Uh-huh.
Police said Cook then pulled the woman's bathing suit bottom out from her side. The woman was able to grab them before Cook exposed her body to the crowd, according to the Palm Beach Post. The woman reportedly told Cook she did not feel comfortable with the trick. Really? Greasy old street magician pulls your panties off and you're not comfortable?
And you're not comfortable with that.
Yeah, huh. Duh. Okay. Duh, Huffington Post. That's a big news reveal. Jeez. Right there, that someone's not comfortable with being accosted in such a way in public.
I think he did the trick wrong.
Yeah, I don't think it works that way. The scarf. Was she wearing a scarf?
I'm going to make your scarf disappear.
That's a weird combo. Like, hey, come here, lady in nothing but a bikini. I'm going to make your scarf disappear. That would have been my first warning.
You got to continue on, too, because so the next line after, the woman reportedly told Cook she did not feel comfortable with the trick. Cook responded by saying, you will feel comfortable, and attempted to grab her bottoms again.
Oh, my gosh. What the heck, dude?
Oh, creepy magician, dude.
Chat room here. You can look at this guy. Here he is.
Yeah.
That's your man. He doesn't look creepy at all.
No, not at all. Looks like, he's just a regular David Copperfield.
Copperfield. Did you just come up with that? That's really good.
I did just come up with that, yeah.
That's super good.
You heard the inception of that joke as I was saying it.
That's super good, man. Totally nailed it. Oh, my gosh. Chat room, you're slow now today, chat room. Dead cat taken to an animal shelter turns out to be just another hand puppet. Cover cat may want to cover her ears for this one. A sad situation turned hilarious on Monday when someone brought a dead cat into an animal shelter on the island of Guernsey, and it wound up being a dog hand puppet. It wasn't even a cat hand puppet. That's the best part. The person who brought in the toy was very upset and had wrapped it in a blanket inside a box, according to a statement by the Guernsey School for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. When the CSPCA manager Steve Byrne, not David Byrne.
Steve Byrne.
This is not a dead cat in a box.
It's not the guy who was on Blue's Clues either.
No. Oh, that guy. He was
Steve Burns.
Love that guy. Brought the box into another room to check for the animal for any identification and was very pleasantly surprised to find out it was a wet, mud-covered puppet.
So they didn't know. They brought it in thinking it was a dead cat.
Yep, they did. And this person found out it was a wet, mud-covered puppet, or, as I like to say, I would totally play bass for a wet, mud-covered puppet.
That's my Meat Puppets covered band.
Oh, I freaking love it, dude. That's a great name. When I returned to say that it was, first there was disbelief, and then there was a very lighthearted moment and joked. We joked about it and was extremely relieved to find they had worried over a cuddly toy. Oh, wait, so they thought it was a dead animal?
Yeah, the person who brought it in thought it was a dead animal.
It must not have been an animal they were all that familiar with, though.
No, I don't know what cats are like, but I assume they have these big holes in the back.
And I'm horribly sad about what I found.
And felt teeth and googly eyes.
I'm not used to putting my hand up the butt of a cat, but this one allows me to.
You know what they should have done? The the vet should, or the animal shelter should have, like, come back out with their hand in the puppet and said, "I brought it back to life.
I'm okay. I'm okay now."
That's amazing. Those people are dumb. Finally, there's a hunt underway, everybody. A hunt underway for 10-foot snake seen feeding near Maine playground.
Yikes. Okay, that's scary.
So if you live in Maine, I love how these sound if you don't know we're talking about the state of Maine, because it sounds like weird. Because you say Maine authorities, it sounds like the ones that right. are chiefly in charge.
Right.
The Maine ones, you know. Have been searching all day and night for a giant snake, reportedly the length of a truck. They spotted slithering near a park and a playground. A patrolling officer saw the serpent dubbed Weasel, or Wessie, sorry. Wessie by locals. Burp. I had to turn to burp.
Mm-hmm.
Near Westbrook's.
Step away from the mic to burp.
Yeah, exactly. Near Westbrook's Riverbank Park at around 3 a.m., 3:30, on Wednesday. And here's the deal. Quote, the snake was eating a large mammal, possibly a beaver.
Wow.
The department posted on Facebook. They also put a parenthesis, not kidding. That was actually them on Facebook saying that. That's crazy. A second officer arrived, and they both watched it swim across the river in the Brown Street side of the Presumpscot River.
Presumpscot River.
Where it disappeared into
I'm guessing.
Yeah, it sounds right. You know, I think you got it right. Disappeared in the thick underbrush. They estimate its length to be at least 10 feet, according to the post. Shortly thereafter, John Voight popped out and winked at him.
Are we witnessing kind of an animal uprising?
Feels you know, like it.
They just had enough of our crap, and we've got
decoy dead animals and giant snakes who are roaming
yeah,
the
well,
world.
I mean, giant snakes, alligators in Orlando,
gorilla
in Cincinnati.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it's probably just coincidence. I mean, well, it's obviously just coincidence. I'm not really shouting conspiracy, but
it's like maximum overdrive for animals.
We're hearing more about it this year than I ever remember hearing about stuff like this.
I agree.
Before.
I wonder what that's about. Let's start a conspiracy.
The animals are rising up.
Maybe that's where Rainier's peeing. It's just like a, oh no.
Right. Yes. There you go. See?
She's just too nervous to tell me the big plan. All right, so there's that. Thank you so much for the news there, me, who said it all, I guess. I don't know who I'm thanking or why. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's Therapy Thursday. My sister Wendy will be here. She is a therapist, and we'll talk about a very specific issue for someone who lives in Hampshire, UK. The now islanded off, not part of the EU. Well, I guess they're still part of the EU until they figure this out. Right. Anyway, that's all coming up next, so come on back for that. In the meantime, Brian brought independent music.
I did. Indie in the Middle today is a band called Terribly Yours, and their brand new album, A Bloom Beyond. Now, it's the debut album from Sean Bones' new band, Terribly Yours. The record is a product of change, a collection of 10 tracks written, recorded by Bones alone in his basement. The flavor of this record kept evolving, he says. It felt like I was soundtracking a movie no one would see. All I knew for a while is that I had something different from anything I've ever released before. And this is great. It's very, I like trying to come up with bands that this sounds like, but I can't come up with any right now.
All right.
Maybe Churches and Bastille.
Ooh, I like Churches.
Yeah.
Make great chicken.
But with male vocals. Let me know what you think, people. And this is their song Answered Prayers from their brand new album A Bloom Beyond. It's the band Terribly Yours.
Touch all the time, so why not be the best at it? Like the touch of a fairy.
Adults are jerks.
Hey, Birdum. This is the morning stream. Bye-bye.
Forgot about the bye-bye part.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're back. Hello. That was great. I love that. That was real good.
Mellow and dreamy, dream pop.
Your streak continues, Brian.
Cool. I'm going to keep her going.
Unabated. What are we doing now? We got stuff to do here. Mostly
we're
going to
help somebody.
Yeah,
well,
why not?
Wendy is. We're going to...
we're going to pretend like we're part of it somehow.
Right, exactly.
Oh, look how cozy the cat is.
Yeah, should I put a little 3D Brian in here?
Yeah, put a little 3D Brian and see what happens. I'm getting out of this thing. I'm never going to be here again. Aw, she likes it.
Yeah, she's not sure of it yet. Nope, she just smashed.
Ah, it's funny. That's super funny to me. All right, we'll call Wendy while this exchange goes on. Oh, I'm going to sneeze. Oh, I can feel it. I'm all sneezy today. I don't know why. I know why.
Hello.
There's weird dust in the air. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Weird dust in the air.
There is. We're having one of those, you know, those valley windstorms you get sometimes in the middle of summer. We had one last night that was epic. And it blew. The problem is I live around a bunch of construction at the moment. They're building all these new homes and townhomes around us. And the dirt was just everywhere. And now, yes. Now I'm sneezing and like sniffling all the time. But anyway, hey, from the land of no dirt, it's all the way from Sweden. It's Wendy Johnson Dunford, my sister and a therapist, comes on Therapy Thursdays and talks about things to help people with real problems. And she's doing the dishes or something. What you guys?
I am also making dinner. So
oh, good.
Ignore me.
8 o'clock dinner. That's a little late. That's all
right,
though.
8 is 6, dude.
Oh, is it 6 there?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was 8 for some reason. Why do I always think it's 8? Hey, when I texted you the other day, was it in the middle of the night? Did I wake you up?
I was actually awake. It was really late. It was like 12:30 or something.
Oh, but you were awake when it came?
I have, but I got some really bad habits after we had guests for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We just stayed up way too late. So every night I'm like, when 8 o'clock sounds good to go to bed, which is not normal for me.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm trying, but whatever.
Whatever. It'll all come back. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's good to have you on.
Thank you.
And now that you've been a week without people, that must be nice, nice and relieving.
Sure.
You can.
And we have a guest coming Saturday.
Oh, good. So. Well, then between now and Saturday, Skype mom.
Just relax.
Skype mom 30 times.
And then, I already talked to her yesterday.
Oh,
so
good. Everything's fine. That's good.
Yeah, it's all good.
Well, today's question comes to us all the way from the UK, a part of the world you're familiar with.
Yep.
We may all be getting very cheap plane tickets too very soon.
Oh, bless them.
If things go the way they want. So here goes. Here's your question. While you're making plastic dinner or whatever that is.
Yeah, sorry. Tinfoil.
Dump the rice into the thing.
Yeah, do whatever you got to do. All many flavors you can get.
Just ignore me.
Hi, Scott, Brian, Justin, and Wendy. I don't know why they put Justin in here, but anyway.
Oh, they're hoping he'll come back and visit.
Maybe. He was. He got high marks that Thursday he was here.
He was intense. That threw me off.
Yeah, it should, because he's a goofball. Mm-hmm. He's, okay, let me tell you what Justin is real quick. Justin is like, he's like a pot-laced, like, gummy bear with, like, wild hair and a penchant for watching things burn. But when you get below the very first layer of gummy, right inside of there is this extremely intelligent, like, softy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the contrast.
We know he's smart. It just catches us off guard when he's
when
sensitive
he
and sweet. Yeah.
When he's all those other things. So anyway, yeah. We love that.
Well,
about
and
him.
I think he looks like Robert Downey Jr. So I called him Robert at least twice.
Yeah, at least twice, maybe three times. I think at the end of it.
Yeah.
Listen, you inspired the podcast awards to also misname him. So you're just totally fine.
Yeah, they called him Robert. Oh, okay. They called him Robert Jason Young. So don't feel bad. So here's your question from Hampshire, UK. This is someone named Edward. We'll call him.
Okay.
And it goes like this: Hi, Scott, Brian, and Justin, and Wendy. Again, I read the Justin part. Shouldn't have. I listened with great fascination to Therapy Thursday last week. My girlfriend is in a similar situation with her mum. That's what they say over there, mum, M-U-M.
Mum, they do say mum.
Yep. Her mum mistreated her and brought her up badly, then moved away from my girlfriend at 13, and then moved to Saudi Arabia when she was 15. My girlfriend lived with her dad instead. Now she's 25 and finds it very difficult to decide what to do. The one time she's confronted her mum with, I'm going to say mom because it's killing me. Is that all right with everybody? I can't do it. It doesn't sound
don't
right.
Don't do things that are killing you. I mean, that's...
Yeah, do things that make me live.
Yeah.
The one time she confronted her mom about how she was treated, she refused to accept she did anything wrong, and now she comes back to the UK from Saudi Arabia, and she acts like if everything's fine or that everything is fine. She has come to broadly the same conclusions that you guys did last week, which is she refuses to accept that anything happened, and it's probably best that she moves on and doesn't save or doesn't have her mom in her life. However, there's a problem. My girlfriend has an older brother who was treated similarly by their mother, but he acts as if nothing happened and everything's fine. Whenever my girlfriend talks to her brother, he says it was, he says it was that and tells my girlfriend to stop holding a grudge. My girlfriend is frustrated because she feels pressure from her brother to have her mom involved in her life, despite the fact that she lives halfway around the world and has refused to acknowledge what happened. I was wondering if you had any advice what I could do to help my girlfriend deal with the situation. Thanks again. Love the show, though. Edward in Hampshire, UK. So it's a very similar situation. However, he's not the one with the upbringing, unlike the last one, right? The last one we talked about was kind of like that. So this is somebody trying to help somebody else who's dealt with it. But also, I have a broader question about how is it possible for two people to grow up in the same environment and not come out of it with the same memory of it or the same impact from it or the whatever? What does that boil down to?
That's super easy.
Yeah.
And that's super common.
All right.
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be, right? You think, oh, you're going to have the same experience. Your nurture part of life was identical in theory, but people play roles in families. Especially families with dysfunction. They're sort of scapegoats and the golden child and the duh-ba-duh. And everyone's got like a name and a role, and they all play that to keep dysfunctional functional. Does that make sense?
Sure,
sure.
And his role was clearly different from hers. Mm. So it's very possible he got more positive feedback than she did, and she just doesn't know it. It's possible that he was treated just as poorly, but his temperament and his need for his mom's acceptance is a very different thing.
Yeah.
So the reality is every time she says to him, like, come on, we got to acknowledge what happened. This is, you know, this isn't something we can just let go. And I don't know if I want to see mom again. I mean, she's butting up against all of his defenses to keep his mother sort of safe in his psyche and in his life. Mm. And there's value for that for a lot of people. There's a lot of abusive parents.
Chicken.
Yeah. It's actually fish, but whatever.
That had to be Peter, right? That was Peter.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's so he'll be amazing. Very sad when he finds out that's a white fish that looks like chicken. Anyway. Sorry.
That's fine.
Anyway, yeah,
that's
sort of you know, every kid needs something different from their parents. We can assume they all need some basic things, but kind of depending on roles. So take an oldest child versus a youngest child or a middle child. So I will tell you, the youngest child who just ran by and yelled chicken needs no attention because that kid is so loud and demands it. He may never in his life have even a taste of what it's like to be Elliot, the middle kid.
Yeah, who feels like he has
sometimes
to,
we forget where he is.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, he's the perfect contrast, I think. Him and Elliot are like, you know.
Oh, the opposite. And one time I had Elliot as a baby. He wasn't even he was the youngest child at the moment. I had him on my lap as a baby, and we were in a place where we had to be quiet. I forgot where we were. And Adam had left and come back, and he sat down, and I saw the other two kids and Adam, and I'm leaning over saying, "Where's Elliot?"
He was in your lap.
And I'm panicking, like, we've lost the baby.
Yeah.
Because it dawns on me, I don't know where he is. And Adam's looking at me like I'm insane for good reason because I'm holding him.
Yeah.
But it's a little like, oh, shoot, sorry, middle kid. I didn't even see you, you know?
Yeah.
And as much as I know this and I try not to and I know what to do, it's stuff happens, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, the roles they play, the things they need from their parents, that's all going to be different. So that explains the brother-sister thing. And she may never find a comrade in this battle.
Yeah.
Especially if it's just the two of them. You know, someone's got to play the good kid role and someone's going to play this kid role or whatever. Right. And sometimes it's more distinct with two kids. But so it sounds like what he's saying is, what do I do? You know, in theory, what do I tell her to do? But the truth is, your job only, emailer, is just to be supportive. Mm-hmm. Listen to her talk about it 3,000 times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality, is that it doesn't, this is family. It doesn't solve itself. Even if she has no contact for years, it doesn't mean that all goes away. That full reality of what that relationship is to her or was to her, or, you know, then there's a funeral that may come up, and then what do we do then? And how do we do? I mean, so this is complicated. So his job is to make sure he takes care of himself, which is everyone's job, and then be there, listen, talk it through, let her be frustrated, hug her, don't try to solve it. That's super tempting. I get it. You know, you can make suggestions, but she may or may not listen to you, and you need to not hold that against her. It needs to be coming from her. I mean, you think about that. If someone, you know, maybe he has a decent relationship with his family. Imagine if someone came along and said, yeah, I think you should never talk to your mom again.
Yeah.
What? You know?
Yeah.
And even though someone may be complaining, that's not actually what they want to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone's had this experience where they're complaining about their wife or their mother or, you know, something. And then if anyone's like, yeah, they are lame, you're like, wait, that is my mom we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's something that's tricky. That is a tricky role to play. So stay hydrated.
So what do you, so this label thing you talked about, we've talked about it before in other contexts, but I think I don't know of a single family, no matter what the size is, unless maybe you're an only child. So I'm curious what Brian might say about this, but growing up,
I don't have really much of an experience with siblings, but
sure. But you'll have I guess you'll have the opposite experience that I didn't have, because I grew up with, what were there, six of us, I guess, if you count Mark. But Mark,
you
was,
don't even know. Yeah, there were six.
Well, Mark wasn't there. I mean, Mark was 20 when I was 10, so
yeah, full like, time at the house, five.
Yeah, pretty much five.
He was gone.
Three Koreans. Wendy and I were the only two white people.
Which is crucial to the story.
It is crucial to the story.
I can tell you that the way my parents treated me was exactly how I remember it.
Okay.
And there's nobody to dispute it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, you have no witnesses. That's awesome.
That's right. I can make it whatever I want.
That's pretty good. But you have a situation where you may have had a label, but you only really had the one. It's not like you were, hey, come here, Brian, and for now, you be my little helper. And then later, you'll be the label of the little...
Bad child.
Yeah, like you just didn't have the... The chance, and I don't know why that's so tempting for parents. Is there a psychological imperative for a parent that says, you know, that has two or more kids to say, you're this and you're this and you're this? Like, why is that a thing that they do? What value, evolutionarily speaking, does that give the human race in a family dynamic?
I'm totally guessing here. I have no idea. But I think the evolutionary advantage is that most of their kids died in infancy. And they had 12, right? And the ones that lived. And so, I mean, you would maybe start labeling right away of like the strong one, the survivor, the one who's going to help inherit the farm. I mean, I think there's maybe some of that. I don't know. I mean, I think the other advantage is we're categorizers as humans. We need a compartment to put someone in to understand them.
Yeah.
And that's why racism continues and why otherism continues, because it helps us put that in a box.
Sure. Yeah, it makes sense to us that way. But also, I think sometimes when it manifests in negative ways. So you may have the one where it's like, oh, she's the helper. She's always helping and she's the best and whatever. You've actually done a little harm there, because now you've put a weird expectation on that kid to always be that thing.
Right.
And which isn't very fair in light of the fact that you think, well, the other one's the rebel. And by doing that, you're sending that kid on a weird path where they don't think they're as good as the helper.
Right.
But
and a big reason for this is your own psychological protection as a parent.
Yeah.
It's this isn't my fault. You came this way. You are this thing.
Yeah.
Potentially. And you know, I mean, it comes down to being completely unaware and unenlightened as a parent. You don't know when it's your stuff getting in the way.
Yeah.
Because any parent who's doing their best and has some sense of it's probably not good to label my kid still struggles with it, because I think it's natural. I think the other thing, I mean, I thought this was so funny because I just thought it was other people, like we do. We always think it's other people.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole kid, like, who's my favorite thing?
Yeah.
Like, I'll watch kids be like, you're my favorite, or am I your favorite? Or my kids... I'll just be like, let me just make this clear, everyone. I have an announcement. My favorite kid is the one who's obeying me.
The one who's not asking me if they're my favorite.
Yeah. My favorite kid is the one who does the dishes when I'm not looking.
Yeah.
That's my favorite kid.
Yeah.
But the truth is, as a parent, that kind of is how it feels.
Yeah.
Your favorite kid is the one who is meeting your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you aren't careful, then you just keep it. Maybe it's your ego needs, right? Like, this kid makes me look good. Yeah. Well, this kid embarrasses the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. So what do I do? And so it's that enlightenment / unenlightenment that I think kids end up paying the price for in this. So like my advice when we were talking to Robert Downey Jr. was to parents, get yourself some freaking help.
Yeah.
Because you're the gatekeeper of, I don't know. And that's just it. It's not all your fault. And yeah, it's your fault. It's like, it's a terrible mix. Sorry,
it really
be more specific.
No, it really is. But like the danger, I think the danger in this labeling thing, and I know this email isn't exactly about labeling, but also since it was so similar to the last one, it's an interesting offshoot to me. But when you say that, you know, when a parent marks one of the kids as the black sheep of the family, and whatever term they use to mean that, they're kind of dooming them, even if that person totally doesn't do that later, or is just in a period of rough teenage years or whatever, and they come out of it. They never really get to come out of it, because you've got this shroud of, well, my parents think I'm this, and therefore my siblings do, because it's a legend created within the family itself.
Right.
Like, how do you get out from under that? That seems bad.
Well, it's hard, and I'll tell you, we just spent, you know, 3 weeks with one of their kids has ADD.
Mm-hmm.
And ADD is complicated and tricky. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of adults who have gone their whole lives undiagnosed and without help. And the struggle, the compensating, the social rejection that happens, you know, there's so much impact from not getting help and struggling with ADD and that impulsiveness. And I'm with this kid for 3 weeks going, I'm going to throw him across the room. Like, you know, just hyper and impulsive and naughty. And the thing is, bright and curious and just like a kid should be in many ways. But as an adult, you're expecting kids to do something different. So, you know, if I were less of a person or his own mother and was exhausted, you know, it would be medicate him till he wasn't moving or maybe being harmful to his development because you so badly need him to calm down for your own sort of ego, your own social norms that he's breaking left and right. And,
yeah.
And hard to just sort of see him for the sweetness that it's easy to do when I'm just his friend, you know?
Sure. But even some parents, I mean, you can see them. I know some people in particular who have a very hard time with, you know, one of their children being on some scale of autism and it just being such a contrast from the other children that it's just harder to deal with. And I see them struggle with trying to be the best possible parents. And I think they're great parents, but they, you know, they have their moments where it's like, oh my gosh, I can't. This day is the worst day because I can't deal with this. Like,
right. And they should have their moments because right. All parents should have their moments. There's right. That's normal. They're just going to have it more frequently and feel worse about it because it's a kid who's disabled or, I mean, that's the thing about ADD is a little different, but slightly. And that is a kid with a disability that is recognizable, like, you know, either their facial structure or they're syndromic or something, or autism, which pretty soon you can tell by interacting.
Yeah.
Is that parents can then have the, well, my child is special needs or disabled and some space. But even then, I'm not even saying that helps all that much. But you take a kid who just seems naughty, then you seem like a bad parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's really tough. So then how do you manage, you know, how do you manage your own stuff? Well, you get your own help. Yeah. So there's that theme again.
Hey, get some help, you're saying. Is that what you're saying? So if, that's a really interesting point. The idea of somebody who's just got a behavioral problem, but it's a diagnosable, treatable thing, or it's an actual thing, a thing that is a problem and you have to deal with it, is so much harder to deal with both as the parent or people just watching you parent than would be a kid who's in a wheelchair and screams, because at least you look at that and go, oh, there's something. It's like a broken arm and depression. Well, you got a broken arm. Sweet, dude. How'd you do it? Let me sign your cast. Oh, you're such a bad A. But then, oh, I have severe depression. Well, just freaking rub some dirt in it and walk it off. And so we're back to that old thing. Yeah, right. Man up or whatever. Yeah, that's frustrating. Right. That stuff's frustrating.
It's tricky. And you know, this we're going to play it back to the emailer, which is like, these are wounds this woman has that no one can see. And we all project our own family experience on each other, right? So when someone says to someone else, I refuse to speak to my mother again, you know, you go from your own experience and go, oh my gosh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, like, don't you think you should give her a chance? Or whatever, but you don't have a clue. So I've learned that there's just some pocket things you do. When someone says they got divorced, you haven't seen them in a while and they said they've got divorced, or they say something like, I have cut certain people out of my life, I say, oh, I'm either sorry or congratulations, which is it?
Yeah, right.
Because suddenly they're realizing, wait, she is not going to be like everyone else who tells me I did something wrong.
Yeah.
Because you know what this person has already gone through? Being told she's wrong enough, right? Yeah. She doesn't need to hear that from one more person. And, you know, maybe she's right. Maybe, and here's the reality. She's asking for just acknowledgement.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any of us that don't understand that. We just want someone to say, listen, I was wrong and I'm sorry. And how simple would that be? But if you are, her mom doesn't sound well. You don't just leave all your kids at some point. When you're doing well, right? Yeah,
that's weird.
And so for her to acknowledge, maybe she's just not well. Maybe she got a break from her family and lived in Saudi Arabia for a while and whatever.
Yeah.
And wants to act like everything's normal because she's never known. She can't face the reality of what she did or how it affected them. I mean, she just wants to pretend and move forward. And, you know, mental illness in a lot of ways will come from let's just pretend and move forward. So, but, you know, how do you get someone to force someone to say sorry? You don't. You just don't. So she has to take care of herself. She has to draw her own boundaries, her own lines. I've had a lot of people just take a year off. And when they realize how glorious life can be without their mother's toxicity, then they extend it. And sometimes, you know, as their parents age, maybe things change or, you know, they have a different perspective. But it is absolutely okay to protect yourself from anyone who's toxic, and almost especially your parents, because they have the power to be the most toxic.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
You're kind of trapped with them as opposed to, you know, friends that you can just say, all right, I'm done with you. See you later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're not good for me.
Yeah.
And even though that is make him very much be the truth, there's no.
You can escape him.
Yeah.
You can't
unless
get
you
away.
Escape him.
Well, I hope this helps this person. I hope that the fish does not taste like chicken.
No.
Or it that the chicken tastes like wood.
Or the chicken tastes like wood, like the old rap says. It sounds like you guys are settled back into the normal life. Wait, so how long are you getting new guests for how long? Like another.
So it's Adam's sister and brother-in-law. They're coming for a week, and he's never been to Europe, so there's no pressure to make it like the greatest time of his life.
Yeah.
No, he's not really at all. Cool.
Yeah.
He's an orthodontist, and so I'm sure he's just going to be looking at everyone's mouth like, what's going on here?
They're going to look at your gold and get all greedy and think,
oh, you know, every dentist says when they see my teeth, they're like, oh, that is beautiful.
I know.
And I'm like, yeah, you're the only ones. I have a whole section of society who think my gold teeth are beautiful.
Yeah.
And they're all very boring.
Yeah, you're all blinged out in there. And I just got back from the dentist, and here's the thing. So you and I for a while there were the only two Johnsons with any kind of gold work in there. Mm-hmm. And I still have one gold crown in the back from when I was like 19. But I had this other one fell out, so I am now one piece of gold less than I used to be.
Aww.
And I'm keeping it because
it's worth something.
When Donald Trump comes president, I'm going to need that gold standard to buy my way out of the country or whatever fake thing I'm making up
right
now.
That's right. I'm just seeking asylum. It's totally going to work. I'm gonna be like, listen, you let all these refugees in. You can let a few Americans. Come on.
Yeah. Listen, Sweden, keep this American
open.
Family. Exactly.
By the way, are you all like hearing about Brexit and pee in your pants?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we're peeing
our pants, but I think everyone, it's been the topic in the last.
It has. Yeah. Markets will stabilize. I don't think it's the throw up your hands and run screaming out the door kind of situation, but
yeah.
Do you guys miss them over there in Sweden? Do you miss the UK?
You know, the thing is we can get to London for $20.
Yeah.
And so all it's doing is making everything cheaper for us. So
wow.
We're thrilled.
Yeah.
And we already shop there for cheap things. Is that terrifying that I have to go to London to get a discount? Isn't that crazy?
That's totally
super
crazy.
How do you, it's not close enough to do like a ferry or anything. I mean, you're flying there for $20.
Yeah, it's flying. So it's Ryanair. Any of you in Europe have not used this, then get on it. It flies.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's an Irish airline. And their major, you know, their hubs are, it's not the Heathrow Airport, it's Stansted, which is a little out of town. So maybe people don't use it very much.
Yeah.
But it is literally about £20, which used to be like $25. Now it's about the same. But what I was going to say is I have a theory on why it all happened.
Okay.
And, okay, so I was watching Last Week Tonight. Last week? What is that?
Yeah, John Oliver.
John Oliver. Yeah. And he had a clip of this woman who said, I voted to leave, and the next morning I woke up. And I panicked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that same clip. Yeah.
It's because this is how humans make decisions. We make them on a gut, emotional, team, whatever level. And then, you know, he was saying the next day the Google searches were all, what is the EU?
How do I change my vote?
People,
yeah. Right.
Well, people don't even know what it was they were voting for, but they saw on the side of a bus that, you know, we send $350 million £1 million to the EU every day. They do not. And none of it was true.
Yeah.
But people, we don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you should hear.
He's not
so
doing.
I just feel bad for him.
Terpster's not doing this very much publicly, but Terpster, he gave me an earful the other day about all this sort of stuff. He was mortified by that vote. He couldn't believe it. And there are plenty of people who have emailed me and said, this is why we want it. Whatever. I don't want more of those emails. The main point is I hope what happens is A, we've all paid attention. We've learned a little bit that sometimes Europeans are dumb too. Second of all, more people should vote and turn out because that may have turned out different. And thirdly, maybe we can learn a little something about emotional reaction, gut reaction, and team thinking.
And there's the fourth thing.
Yeah.
Google what the EU is before you vote to leave it.
Yeah.
Before you cast your vote. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I'm all for people voting their conscience. I just think they should know what the hell they're doing first.
Hey, Americans, Google Trump before you go vote for him.
Yeah, Google Trump's actual business record.
Please, could you do that? And also, when Trump was in Scotland, my gosh, did you see him?
Yes.
I don't think he knew where he was, and has any clue that Scotland wants so out of there.
Yeah, no, he had no idea.
And Scotland is still in the EU. He's such a moron.
Yeah, the things he said on Twitter were downright stupid.
Well, he was promoting a new golf course. What do you expect?
Yeah, but that's my point. Is like, if that's what you're doing, then fine, promote your golf course. Don't make some horrible backwards commentary on on how you think Scotland voted to leave and take their country back. Such an idiot. All right.
I know.
Don't worry about it. It's all going to be fine. We're going to have a slightly less offensive but still not great female president when we get to November. It's not going to be Trump. I'm still holding to that theory.
You better hope that happens. And by the way, Sweden, when they talk about exiting, which they're not going to, it's called the Swexit.
The Swexit. I like that.
Yeah, you got to pick every country and then add an it to the end, exit to the end. And so it sounds like, so Grexit for Germany.
Germany be Grexit,
or
Gurxit. A Gurxit?
Gurmexit. Gurmexit.
How about Estonia?
Yeah, what's Estonia?
Estexit.
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 I like that.
Lithuania exit. Those people want to
believe. Lithuexit.
Yeah,
Lithuexit.
Yeah, don't take that unless your doctor
Ireland
has to.
Ireland would be Irexit.
Irexit.
It's an eating disorder.
That sounds bad. All right, well, have fun. Enjoy your chicken fish, and may we do this again in one Earth week from now.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye now.
Bye. Consult a physician before taking Irexit.
Yeah. If you maintain a...
an Irexit for more than 4 hours.
If you maintain a 3D print of Brian.
3D print it. Yeah.
That's going to do it, everybody. Thank you all for being here today. This is your show, and we are done with it. Except we'll be back at 3:30 p.m. today. Is that our new time? It is our new time, right?
Three.
I keep saying 3:30. It's 3. 3 p.m. Mountain time today. Mm-hmm. We'll be here for PMS PM. And why does that exist? Well, let me tell you. Patreon.com/TMS, where now you can go sign up and get membership cards. You can get collectible monthly cards. You can get all kinds of cool new levels. It's all been streamlined and redone, and people seem to be loving it. Feedback has been awesome. So please go there.
Have those cards gone to get printed yet or anything?
No, not yet.
Do you want to add a mustache to me?
Do you have one now? Hold on.
I've had one for...
I better put that on you.
I've had one for the last couple of years.
Oh, I can totally do that, yeah. Let's get that in there.
I kissed you on the face with this mustache, Scott.
Chiron, why are you missing? Yeah, I have your goatee beard part, but I don't have the top part. All right, I fix it.
Okay, cool. I was going to, because if it was too late, I was just going to have to shave it.
Wait, you kissed me on the, no, you kissed Tom Merritt on the head or something, didn't you?
I did, yes. I'm kidding.
Whatever that was. And he kissed you or something.
He kissed me on the head after drinking the Clamato or something, I think.
Oh, my Lord. That was a weird year. All right, so there you go. Yes, I'm going to put the mustache on Brian. And if any of these printed without it, those will be collectibles.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, the ones without the mustache. The stream's brought to you every day by alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. Everything's there. Our phone number, our email address, even our Twitter account. So go there and check it out, frogpants.com/TMS. Thank you, everybody, for listening, being here, and supporting us. Brian, let's get out with some music.
Sure. Well, Nick wrote in, said, good morning, Frog Panthers. I'm starting a new job at the local superior court, and I think we should celebrate. Please play me an upbeat song of your choosing, cover man. If not possible, could I get a Hulk burp? Love the show, bro.
Oh, let's see. Hulk burp. That one's pretty easy. Here you go. There you go.
Nice. All right. So, Nick, congratulations on the new job at the local superior court. I hope your tenure is long and fruitful. When you're thinking of law and court and judges and benches and your honor, and if it pleased the court and all that stuff, you know, you got a few songs you can choose from, right? Like I Fought the Law or Love is the Law and stuff like that. Or Breaking the Law is another good one. I decided to go a different route and celebrate with one of my favorite artists, or at least a song originally by one of my favorite artists, who's snark level comes through. His sarcasm, his wit comes through in covers of his music because he was such a great writer. I'm talking about Warren Zevon from the tribute album to the late, great Warren Zevon. Came out in 2004. Enjoy Every Sandwich, the songs of Warren Zevon. Here are The Wallflowers and Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Not too late.
Oh, poor Tom.